Turning your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Second Chronicles 34, and we want to begin reading at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim, Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that we would allow you to speak to our hearts today as we look into your word. We know that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And we pray that we would learn from this portion of Scripture today the things that you would have us to learn, that we might have comfort, that we might have hope as we live here in these last days, that we might examine ourselves this morning to see if we be in the faith. We pray that all these things might be done for the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're looking at the life of Josiah in our studies on Sunday morning. This child who became king of Judah. We've been thinking about these words in verse 2, that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We talked last Sunday morning and Sunday night, that Josiah was not the only king of Judah who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But he is the only one of whom it is said that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Last week, we looked at some of the kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We looked at Asa and Jehoshaphat and Uzziah. Each of these kings did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but each of these kings declined to the right hand or to the left. Each of them turned aside to the right hand or to the left in their obedience to the Lord. Asa declined to the right hand and to the left when he relied on the king of Syria instead of relying on the Lord as he had earlier in his reign. And when he was sick, Asa turned away when he relied on the physicians instead of relying on the Lord. Jehoshaphat turned aside when he joined affinity with Ahab. Jehoshaphat turned aside when he made marriages to Ahab, when he gave his son in marriage to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Jehoshaphat turned aside when he was unequally yoked together with the unbelieving house of Ahab. Uzziah declined to the right hand or to the left when his heart was lifted up in pride. When he stopped glorying in the Lord and began to glory in himself. Each of these kings did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But each of them declined in some way, in some area of their life, to the right hand or to the left. That wasn't the case with Josiah. And so we want to look at his life. We want to see what was different about this child king. We want to see what was different that would cause the Spirit of God to say of him that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And it's important for us to think about these things because we mentioned last week in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, we're told to ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so we want to see how Josiah pondered the path of his feet. We want to see how his ways were established. We want to see how he turned, not to the right hand or to the left. We want to see how he removed his foot from evil. We noted last week in the reign of these kings, and here in the reign of Josiah, that this second verse is a summary type statement. Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Verse 2 is a summary. But verse 3 tells us how. Verse 3 is a very critical verse because it tells us how Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. It tells us how he walked in the ways of David his father. It tells us how he declined, neither to the right hand nor to the left. And that's what we need. That's what we need to know. Because ultimately, what does it mean to you and me today that Josiah lived for the Lord, that he lived a life that pleased God 2,700 years ago? Unless the Spirit of God tells us how he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Unless he tells us how he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And that's what the Lord does beginning in verse 3. Notice, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Like so many verses of Scripture, it's easy to read that and just keep going without stopping and thinking about it. In the eighth year of his reign, Josiah was 16 years old. 16 years old. Think about that. When Josiah was 16, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Young people, I hope you'll think about that. Because so many times, you, and not really just you, but many of us, we can talk about this from experience. Many of us, when we were your age, we thought that seeking the Lord, we thought that getting saved, we thought that living for the Lord was something that you did when you got older. Youth was for living it up. youth was for living this carefree life to the very maximum while we had no real cares, no real worries, no real responsibilities. But I'll tell you something about that idea. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the father of lies. It's a lie from the devil and the powers of darkness, because Satan wants you dead, young person. That's what he wants. He wants you to lose your life so that you can lose your soul forever. God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Thinking about that word "them." What is the word "them" referring to? When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, certainly, in the context of the verse, it's referring to the evil days. But what are the evil days? The evil days are when the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of sin for a season and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life begin to tug at the heart and the soul and the mind. And if there was a meter that measured the tenderness and the hardness of the human heart, the tenderest time would be in the days of our youth. From the time that we are born until the time that fleshly lusts begin to war against the soul, at about the time of our teen years, the time when our free will begins to manifest itself. It's in this period of youth that there's an innocence that we'll never have again. It's in this period of youth that we have a childlikeness about us. It's in this period of youth that our heart is tender and it's pliable and it's receptive to our Creator. It's receptive to the message of the gospel. But every time that the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected, every time that we choose the world and the pleasures of sin for a season, every time that we choose the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, the heart hardens. It hardens. Just a little bit at first. In the beginning, the hardness is almost imperceptible. But over time, the hardness begins to manifest itself. We saw that in the life of Joash last week. The first indication of the hardness of Joash's heart was the difference in the way that he lived when the influence of Jehoiada the priest was gone in his life. When the influence of Jehoiada was gone from Joash's life, Joash left the house of the Lord. He served idols and groves. He would not give ear to the word of God, and he cut off the influence of the word of God in his life. He did that when he killed Zechariah. Zechariah was the son of Jehoiada the priest, and God sent him to deliver the message from heaven. Joash cut that message off. He killed Zechariah. Young people, right here is a test. A test to measure the hardness of your heart. If when you are no longer under the influence of your parents who know and love the Lord and many of you young people are blessed with those kinds of parents. In fact, I would say most of you here are blessed with those kinds of parents. Parents who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Parents whose desire is that you come to know Him. But if when you are no longer under the influence of those godly parents, if when you are no longer under the influence of the teachers and staff here at Calvary Christian School, if when these things, when these influences are gone, if the pattern of your life is that you've left the house of the Lord, you don't come to church anymore. Maybe some of you are sitting here this morning thinking, I just can't wait till I'm out on my own and don't have to come to church anymore. But if the pattern of your life is that you've left the house of the Lord and you're serving the groves and the idols of this world and you will not give ear to the Word of God, there's a hostility in your heart and mind against it. You're doing everything that you can to cut off and kill that influence in your life, then you're hardening your heart. Your heart is hard. You're taking pleasure in the evil days. And you're on dangerous ground. You ought to stop and think about the danger of hardening your heart against the Lord. Pharaoh did that. Three times in God's dealings with Pharaoh, we're specifically told that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. We're told that in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 15, and chapter 8 and verse 32, chapter 9 of Exodus and verse 34. Three times God dealt with Pharaoh, and three times Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then we come to Exodus chapter 10 and verse 1, and we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart." I have hardened his heart. Read those words again in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart." Pharaoh hardened his heart. And hardened his heart, and hardened his heart until one day he crossed the line of God's mercy. He crossed the line, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. There was no place of repentance for this man. That's why God says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." When your heart is tender, before the evil days come, before the world begins to tug and to draw, God says, "Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart." Harden not your heart. This morning, while it is called today, if you're lost, you need to stop fighting against the truth. You need to stop hardening your heart before you cross the line. Where is that line? I don't know where it is. No man knows where it is. God knows where it is. Before you cross that line and God hardens your heart, and your heart will be hardened for all eternity, as you're there in the lake of fire. This morning, while it is called today, stop hardening your heart. Lay down your rebellion. Repent of your sin and surrender your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Josiah is an example of someone. He's an example of a young man who remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. When he was 16 years old, while he was yet young, Very important to notice that the Spirit of God puts that in there. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God. And we don't want to miss the order here. Doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, declining neither to the right hand nor to the left, begins when we seek after God. That's how it begins. It's no mystery. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That's what Josiah is doing. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, the age of 16, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Now notice the next words in verse 3. "And in the 12th year," "he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images." In the 8th year of his reign, when he was young, when he's 16 years old, Josiah begins to seek after God. And then in the 12th year of his reign, when he's 20 years old, Josiah began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. There's a point here that's very critical to notice. There are 4 years between the time that Josiah began to seek after God and the time that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. There are 4 years between these two begins in Josiah's life. Josiah didn't begin to seek after God and at the same time begin to purge Judah and Jerusalem. God doesn't do things that way. Right here is an example of a principle that we find in many places here in the Word of God. And the principle is this: those who God uses publicly, he trains privately. Those who God uses publicly, he trains privately. We see this principle in the life of Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness on the backside of the desert preparing for his public ministry in Egypt. 40 years. Elijah stood before the Lord. First time we find him, that's what his testimony is. He stood before the Lord for an undetermined amount of time, preparing to come and give Ahab a 25-word message. And after he had delivered the message, God sent him back into hiding for 3.5 years of more preparation. We see this principle in the life of John the Baptist when we come to the New Testament. We read about John's birth in Luke chapter 1 and verse 57. We read about his circumcision on the 8th day of his life. And then we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 80 that John grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. What was John doing in the deserts? He was in the school of God. God was preparing him to come and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's talk about the blessed Son of God for just a minute, because we see this same pattern in his life. We see the Lord's birth in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. We see his circumcision when he was 8 days old. At 40 days, the Christ child was presented to the Lord. We're told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 that Jesus grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The next time we see the Lord is at the age of 12 in the temple. And then we don't see him again until Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. when at about 30 years of age, Luke tells us, the Lord Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, and he begins his earthly ministry. 30 years of preparation for 3.5 years of ministry. That's the pattern that we find here in the Word of God. And it's the pattern that we see here in the life of Josiah. For 4 years, God trains and prepares this young man. What did the training consist of? We don't know for certain. God doesn't give us that detail. But there's a word here in verse 3 that's worth noticing. It's the word purge. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. That word means to cleanse. It means to purify. And I think this word is worth thinking about because I believe it suggests to us, I believe it gives us some hint as to what was happening in Josiah's life during these 4 years of preparation. This 4 year period began with Josiah seeking after God. And as this young man sought after God, he got closer to God. And the closer that he got to the Lord, the more Josiah saw in his life those things that needed to be purged. The closer that he got to the Lord, the more he saw things in his life that needed to be cleansed. The closer that he got to the Lord, the more he saw in his life that needed to be purified. The more that Josiah sought after the Lord, the closer that Josiah got to the Lord, the more the cry of his heart, I believe, became the cry of his father David. In Psalms 139 and verse 23, David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me. Examine me. Examine me not in a cursory manner, but examine me thoroughly. That's what David is asking for. Expose the depths of the wickedness that is in my heart. Try me, scrutinize me, test me, prove me. Try me as a refiner would refine gold. Burn away the dross, burn away the secret lusts, burn away the secret desires, the secret sins that are out of everyone's sight except yours. Burn away the hidden things of dishonesty. Know my thoughts. Discern and expose the thoughts and intents of my heart, that I might bring every thought into captivity for the glory of God. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, try me, know me, lead me. I believe that these thoughts are suggested to us by this word purge. And I'll tell you why I believe they relate to Josiah and his 4 years of preparation. Because, folks, before God will ever send a man out publicly to purge Judah and Jerusalem, he is going to first purge that man privately. And so what we see in the life of Josiah is 4 years of seeking after God, 4 years of purging in the life, 4 years of preparation, followed by these years of work for the Lord. 6 years of work for the Lord. See, what we have here is the genius of God. Many a young Christian has been ruined by rushing into work for the Lord. Ruined by rushing into work for the Lord before they are prepared for that work. Before their heart is established in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Before they've grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When men rush into public ministry, when they begin to teach before they have begun to learn, then what you get is shallow and superficial ministry. May I say this morning that that's the kind of ministry that I'm afraid is the rule and not the exception in our day? It's why you have weak, it's one of the reasons that you have weak churches. And where you have weakness in those who have rushed into public ministry, you have weak teaching and weak preaching, and what you have is a weak pew and a weak witness here in the world. Verse 3 has a critical order. Josiah began to seek after God. And he did that for 4 years. And then he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. See, man has a different order. Man says, Judah and Jerusalem need purging. Let's gallop, let's get up on our horses and gallop off in all directions. Purging Judah and Jerusalem. Now at the same time, we'll seek after God. But we got to get out there and start purging. That's not God's order. God's order is seek, then purge. We see that in the life of this young man. It's like that because there has to be a foundation. Purging and working and doing and ministering for the Lord has to have a foundation. It has to have a basis. And the only way that foundation can be laid is by seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. Another reason that Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, another reason that he declined neither to the right hand or to the left, is because he had this order right in his life. He spent 4 years in preparation. 4 years allowing the Lord to search him and try him and know him and lead him. And then the Lord sent him out to purge Judah and Jerusalem. There's something that I think is worth thinking about along this line. I don't want to give the impression that this kind of preparation is a once-for-all occurrence. There are periods of preparation in our lives as believers. Periods of preparation of varying length. The same way that we see here in the Word of God. But the critical point is that we never graduate from the school of God. We never graduate from the school of God. The preparation for ministry. If you're saved this morning, you have a ministry. And the preparation for ministry never ends. It never ends. It's a daily need in the life of the believer. And the Spirit of God is illustrating during this 4 years of preparation in the life of Josiah what needs to take place in the life of every believer every day. We need to begin every day seeking after God. We need to begin every day and all through the day. We need to have the attitude of heart of Josiah's father David. Search me, O God. and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Examine me thoroughly. Expose my heart to me. Try me. Test me. Prove me. Burn away the dross. Burn away the secret sins, the secret desires, the secret lusts, the hidden things of dishonesty. Know my thoughts. Discern and expose to me the thoughts and intents of my heart, that we might bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Very short prayer. You can condense it down. 8 words. Search me, try me, know me, lead me. Then we're prepared to go out every day and minister. Then we're prepared to go out and purge Judah and Jerusalem. Then we're prepared to serve the Lord. Prepared to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, and decline neither to the right hand nor to the left. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. We thank you for this young man, Josiah, the lessons that he teaches us as a 16-year-old. What a convicting thought. So many of us who are older, been saved much longer, have so little knowledge of what it means to seek after the Lord every day. Every day. All through the day, to ask you to search us and try us and know us and lead us. We pray that you would convict our hearts this morning. And Father, if there are those here who are lost, and for whatever number of years, some perhaps from the time of their youth, they've hardened their hearts and hardened their hearts and hardened their hearts. We pray that you would help them right now to see the peril of their soul. There could come that time, they know not when the Lord will harden their heart for a final time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And Father, we pray that right now, in this moment, right where they are, they would repent of their sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. We thank you that in this late hour, that we're still in the day of grace, and that you're still willing to save to the uttermost all who come to God by you. We thank you for this time together today, and we pray that you would use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.